All right, so we continue our study of the family and dusty reality, meaning we're trying to be practical and just deal with very relevant and helpful things that we can discuss and apply to our own families, based on theological truth, but really trying to unpack it in a simple way, in practical way. So the family is the most basic unit in the working of God's kingdom. And we've said that many times. I believe it's easy to prove that from Scripture. The great thrust of kingdom advancement comes from the unit working as a unit, this family working as a family unit in accordance with God's truth. This means that the dominion mandate given to man at creation is closely connected to the family. If the family is the most basic unit, then that dominion mandate God gave has to have very close ties to the family unit. So men as leaders of their families are to have God's commission of dominion at the forefront of their thinking. That's what we've got to have. What are we here for? What are we doing? What is our goal? What is our objective? It's dominion, which means advancing Christ's cause and Christ's kingdom. That's why we exist, and that's why God has given us what we have. That's why He has given us the authority we have. That's why He's given us our families. It is dominion that is to shape and guide all that we do. Thus, last time we looked at the importance of men leading, that is, being real leaders in their homes. Why is this important? Why is it important that men are real leaders? When men are not leading, what manifestation does that have upon the working of God's kingdom? It regresses. So the kingdom is not moving forward. When men are not leading, because God doesn't have a plan B in that sense. He doesn't say, okay, well, I'm waiting for someone else to step into the gap. Which direction, right? So if men are not leading in a godly way, in a God-glorifying way, then godly dominion is unobtainable. It is not, the working of God's kingdom is not going towards that dominion mandate that God has ordained. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God, and we see the rise and wane and fall of nations and stuff. So I'm not challenging that man's hand is the final determiner. I'm talking on a human level. We need to realize in our own thinking and for our own understanding that unless we are actually stepping up to the plate and acting in the way that God expects us to act, then we are on this decline. We are definitely on a kingdom decline. So Israel went through declines, many nations have gone through declines. Europe, once a shining light of Christianity, for example, England and places like that, are in an incredibly depraved state at the moment in comparison to where they were 150 years ago. They've gone on a decline, and you'll see a correlation between the family and the lack of leadership in the nation by men to their decline. So if men are not leading, it means the kingdom is in decline. God is sovereign, so we mustn't get confused, as I said, about that. But all I'm focusing upon is that we have a responsibility as men to be leading. So if the family is the most important unit in the working of God's kingdom, this makes the man the most important individual in the family unit. Important in the sense of responsibility. The weight rests upon his shoulders. So as young men, you need to be preparing in your own minds the responsibility that awaits you as a future husband, a future father, and leader of your homes. The weight of responsibility rests upon you with respect to the kingdom, because the family unit is the most important integral in the working of the kingdom, and the man becomes the most important individual in that family. Now, within the family unit itself, what is the second most important individual? The wife. Okay, not the children. The wife must always remain that way. So it's the husband and wife together. So the wife becomes the second most important. But now, if you're going to make a team, that becomes the team, the husband and wife together. Now, is this a 50-50 partnership? And it's not even a democratic partnership. Okay, the man is the leader and the one with the authority and the responsibility. So the man is the leader and his wife is his helper. Some translations would talk about her being a helpmeet or a helper meet for him or fit for him to assist him in his calling, in his dominion responsibilities to what he's supposed to be doing. So last time we looked at the importance of the man leading. He's got to be a leader, otherwise the whole thing grinds to a halt. It just wallows around in a very lethargic kind of way. Tonight I want to consider another aspect of leading, and that is maintenance. And maintenance with respect to this key unit within the family unit, between the husband and wife. It's an important aspect of how this whole unit functions effectively, is the relationship with the husband and wife, and how he as the leader works with his wife. This component forever remains the most critical within the family unit on the smaller scale. And children must never become the center of a family at any stage of their lives. Children must never assume that position. They must always be subject to this primary family unit, and they fit in and conform to the direction and the shaping of that family unit by the husband primarily, but by then the team of the husband and the wife, and the children are then take on the shape and bring their thinking and living and actions and everything into line to support and advance that. Okay, obviously when they're very small, that's, but still, even when they're very small, they still must not assume a position prior to that important relationship between the husband and wife. So the family is a team. For what purpose? Kingdom of God and dominion. That's what it's about. How is this particular aspect of dominion to be determined in a particular family? It's by the man's calling, whatever that is. He's going to shape it. He's going to say, okay, the dominion is this. This is how we're going to manifest it. This is how it's going to be worked out. This is how we're going to pull together as a team to accomplish this dominion. It's the man's dominion. It's not the wife's dominion. It's not her vision. It's not the children's dominion. It's not their goals and their ambitions. It's his goal, and he's training and directing and leading toward that goal. So the family is thus the man's team to accomplish kingdom work. What's the most critical component in the family unit? The husband-wife relationship. It's critical to that family unit. And therefore, when we realize that as men and as husbands, and we realize, okay, I've got to now start thinking in those terms and understanding what that implies and necessitates in keeping this family unit going. That's the title tonight, maintenance. Maintaining this important dynamic and component. So a good leader needs to understand how to keep that component working smoothly and effectively. If you're a good soldier, you're the one in charge, even though you've got a weapon in your hands. You're the guy in charge and calling the shots. But you better have your weapon efficiently cleaned and smoothly working if you want to be effective. And so that relationship between a soldier and his weapon becomes one that is incredibly intimate. So he knows this weapon. He can do whatever he wants to it in pitch darkness. He's aware of all the components, how it works. He keeps it clean. He keeps maintaining it the whole time. He never lets it disintegrate and fall apart or become rusty and decrepit. So it's this maintenance perspective that we're focusing upon tonight, and then trying to be very practical in what does that look like. So in the same kind of way as a soldier maintaining his weapon, we need to think about the unit of husband-wife relationship in the same terms and say, okay, well, how do we maintain this? Now, 1 Peter 3 is an amazing chapter. You can turn to that if you want to. The first 6 verses speak very clear instructions to the wife, very strong instructions to the wife. And these verses are important to look at with our wives and should also shape the way we train our daughters. It's a very important understanding as we're thinking about, well, what? How do I equip, how do I train and prepare my daughters in their life and calling? It's these goals that we should be aiming at that are outlined in 1 Peter 3 in those first 6 verses. And we'll return to this passage and deal with those verses when we look more specifically with training our children. But what I want to focus upon tonight is verse 7 of 1 Peter 3. So dwell with them, your wives, with understanding or with knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we've covered some of the theological foundations for a husband-wife authority structure in the jurisdiction talks that we did with the Self-Consciously Biblical series. I don't want to recover those areas. But what we see here is the man has authority. And the caution from Peter is that this authority is to be used with consideration. See, all authority comes from God and is therefore to be used in a godly way for his glory. Leaders are not meant to be domineering and abusive. And to be such kind of a leader is to function according to a Gentile's mindset, a worldly mindset, where we dominate and are oppressive in our leadership. Thus, it falls upon the leader of the family to function in his role with his wife with knowledge and understanding. That's what Peter's exhorting. You need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. So firstly, we need to know what Scripture teaches about this important subject of leadership, about what it teaches about marriage, what it teaches about wives, about roles and responsibilities. All that is dwelling in this marriage relationship according to knowledge. So there's a very broad scriptural basis that we should have as men. That's part of the knowledge aspect. Secondly, we need to know and understand our wives, which is obtained through regular interaction, constant, relaxed fellowship, that kind of communion, talking and interaction. It's vital that dynamic is in existence, not only in the beginning of your marriage, but throughout the whole marriage. It's something that needs to be preserved and maintained. Some people will interpret that aspect, dwell with her according to understanding, that somehow the wife is this unfathomable deep well of, and all her whims and whatever that comes out, you've got to dig down there and try and find all this stuff out. I think that's pushing that idea a bit to the extreme. I really don't think that's what it's talking about. because in that sense it can be abused by the wife. So, you know, where the wife's emotions and whims set the agenda. That's not what it's talking about at all. So I've got to find out, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, there's nothing wrong with knowing what her favorite color is. What I'm saying is you can't set that as, you know, discovering these deep inner things in that sense. I think there's general principles that we want to learn. The husband is not trying to piece together these unfathomable mysteries. This is not the knowledge and understanding that is being talked about. What do you think it's not talking about when you're trying to understand your wife? What can't it be talking about? You know, you've heard of somebody where, you know, maybe this lady was raised, was in the lap of luxury and kind of her feeling of, if you're going to know me, you're going to know that I need exotic vacations and I need pampering and I need all these kinds of things. You understand? So some people would try and use this verse in that kind of way. So I'm just trying to make you aware that you need to be mindful that there's that kind of thinking out there. You know, my father's pampered me all my life and you should be pampering me because he showed me true love and you're not loving me like you should. I've heard that in the church where I was sitting once and somebody stood up to announce this retreat for the ladies and it was called something like pampering weekend or something. And you know, mothers, you need to pamper yourselves. And so we're going to go away and we're just going to have this time of pampering ourselves and really, because you deserve to be pampered. And I was thinking, you know, this, my mind's doing a search to scriptures. It's coming up blank. Let's start again. So there's, you know, there's that kind of mindset out there was, well, if you knew me and you dwelt with me according to understanding, when really what the lady's doing is just manipulating, using her emotions to manipulate the situation. So that's not what it's, I don't believe that's what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter 3 verse 7. But to know that my wife is fearful of X, even if her fear is wrong, I need to know that because otherwise I'm unable to minister into the situation. I'm unable to address it. I'm unable to perceive or anticipate. So I need to know her. I need to have interactions so that I can know her uniqueness. There's many unique things about each person. And, you know, there's no book that you can ever read on marriage that's going to give you the whole understanding of your particular wife. So it's a matter of getting to know her. And that requires discovering these unique things. If you don't know these things, you don't know her hopes and her fears and her dreams and her weaknesses and her struggles and umpteen kind of things. Unless you know those things, you can't be a true leader for her. You can't minister to her or protect her in the way that you need to protect her. So Peter says we're to honor our wives, is it? Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. Giving honor to her as a weaker vessel. We honor in the way we treat, the way we relate, the way we speak. That's how you honor. You know, like you'd honor your parents in the way you would speak to them. That's the kind of terminology it's demonstrating. That's how we should speak to our wives, with honor. In public and in private, there's no place for pulling down your spouse when you're out with the boys. There's true counsel you can be sought out, but that has to be done with great respect and reverence and honor, even as you're seeking solutions to problems. So it's wrong to belittle your spouse. Strength of leadership does not mean using harsh words. You don't need harsh words. Strong leadership stands on principle and is not affected by disagreement from principle. People can disagree with principle, but I'm standing on principle. There it is. You can call me what you want. You can think about me what you want. I'm not going to be swayed by that. And your response to me should not dictate my response back to you. Shouldn't do that because I'm standing on principle. Here I'm standing upon God's word. You can call me a blankety blank or a whatever name you want to come up with. I'm not suggesting that that's what husband-wife relationship. I'm talking about in a principle here. That when we lead us, we need to understand what principle is and not be swayed off that principle. So don't be threatened. Because usually when you react, it's because you're feeling somewhat threatened in your position. And so that can be something that causes you to react in a way that you didn't want to react. But if you understand your position, you understand you're standing on solid ground, and you understand your responsibility to how to relate, then you can control yourself in that sense. Well, that's a tool to help control yourself. So, you know, we need tools, and that's a tool. Well, this is right, and I'm not budging. And it doesn't matter what you think of me. We have to do that when we're training our children, when we're holding the line with respect to that. We can't be intimidated by somebody's displeasure with us. In relating to our wives, we don't want to use harsh words or gestures or tones. So Peter says that she is a weaker vessel. What kind of weakness could that be? She's a weaker vessel. I'm opening that up for them. What kind of weakness are we talking about? Emotions would be included. I think it's the number of things included. emotions are there, pressures of life, and making a stand against that. That's an important aspect which we read about in Timothy, where Paul talks about Eve being deceived. So you've got this potential there of the wife being more easily deceived, in that sense makes her weaker, because our strength is in what? Truth. We can only be strong when we know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And freedom is where strength is. And if we don't know the truth, we're going to be intimidated by all kinds of things. So that's an important verse, 1 Timothy 2 verse 14, that talks about Eve being deceived. Now, physical strength comes in. Now, there's not an absolute universal, because you could find a lady that's stronger than a man, I assure you. It must be a number of things that are included in the understanding of what the weaker vessel is. Do you know what another weakness is? What about her position? Even the fact that she is subject to her husband is a position of weakness. I think it's difficult for men to understand sometimes what it means for a woman to submit to her husband in a biblical way. It really is. Because she's actually saying, my hands are off the controls. I've got no say where this car's going. It's like sitting in the passenger seat, and the driver, if you've ever driven with somebody that you don't have confidence in, I mean, everybody who drives in my passenger seat feels like that. It's kind of out of your hands. There's nothing you can do. And a lady, you need to appreciate that. I think it's an important aspect that a man and a husband needs to realize, that the vulnerability that a woman has when she submits. She needs to, and it's biblical and it's godly, but it is a position of weakness. She's making herself vulnerable, and so in that sense, she's also weak. I think that falls into this category as well. I don't know if there's any others that I might have not thought of. Peter would say that she's a weaker vessel. But I think all those are included, and there might be others that we can't think of offhand. So do be conscious of that. When you've got a wife that's submitting herself to you, you want to thank the Lord and say, oh Lord, this is just an incredible blessing, because she really is. She's giving up the control, and she's trusting herself, which she should do, which is the biblical way. But it doesn't come naturally and easy to the flesh. But Peter says, yes, she's weak, but she's a joint heir. She's a joint heir, and that constantly should keep our minds aware of the fact that although we have a position of authority, and although God has given us this leadership role, in His eyes we are equal from an eternal perspective. The man is not greater, we're not superior, we're not a better being, we're not a better specimen, we're not a more capable specimen. We've just been given a position of authority, and that's demonstrated for us in the Trinity, is it not? When Christ came to the earth to save us, and He talks about His Father being greater than Him, or having a position that directs Him, and He submitted Himself to everything His Father directed Him. But ultimately we know they're absolutely equal in the Godhead. And so those are important principles we can learn, and that same principle applies to the being of who a man and a woman is. We are equal, ultimately. But God has given a position while we function on this earth to function in this way, and therefore we should never have a superior attitude or think that somehow we are better in being than a lady. Although the man has the authority and he's got to understand his wife, and although she's the weaker vessel, they are of equal value in God's sight. And then God adds on, which I don't want to get into too much, about hindering the man's prayers. If he does not dwell with his wife according to knowledge, his prayers are hindered, which means God's hand is against man absolutely, in the sense of being effective for the kingdom. Because can we be effective without relationship and interaction and praying with God? Can we have no power and ability and strength. And therefore, when God says, I will hinder your prayers, that's not just kind of saying, you know, I'm going to wrap you on the knuckles. That's kind of like a, whoa, I'm in deep trouble. So, you know, there's kind of a strong motivation to take Peter seriously in what he is saying. So the dusty application. If communication is vital in the marriage relationship, then priority needs to be given to it. Needs to become a priority and say, well, this is important, because the maintenance of this relationship cannot take place without communication. Staying in touch. So there's staying in touch communication, and there's dominion communication, and I'm not sure where they begin and end. There's the same, you know, where you're maintaining and you're keeping the vision and you're encouraging and you're standing together. So if something is important, what needs to be done in this busy life? Schedule it. You have to schedule it and say, okay, this I see this as critical, because I understand my dominion calling, my family, the critical unit within the family is the husband and wife relationship. I'm not going to achieve anything unless I'm dwelling with my wife according to knowledge. And vital part of that dwelling with according to knowledge is this maintenance and preserving this relationship. And how do I do that? Time. Time is required. communication? How often? I have no idea. I mean, it's going to vary from person to person. But I would say at least once a week. At least, and I'm not talking about just communication around the dinner table. I'm talking about specific time that's set aside where you're saying, okay, we got to catch up. We got to get to grips with stuff. At least try and schedule that once a week. And I'm not laying down absolutes here. I'm merely putting it out in the dusty arena and saying this is how you should be thinking, and you need to work around your own schedules and your own abilities and circumstances. And maybe you can meet 3 times a week, maybe you can meet every day, whatever that difference is. That's what falls into your ballpark to work out. You don't have to go out, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's not, you know, you got to plan some exotic dinner date, and it's just time, you know. And really, a wife just wants time. I think sometimes we have the wrong view, the worldly view about the romanticism that's put out there of what real communication is like. It can just be time where you're apart together, away from distractions and dealing with these important issues. So this needs to be a focused, undisturbed time when the husband finds out how things are going. How are the wife's doing? How are you doing, honey? How are you coping? Are you able to, you know, where are the problems? Where are things going wrong? Do we need to look at any aspects? What are the situations that are troubling you? Troubling situations might be on the horizon. What new plans need to come up? What kind of suggestions do you need to give to her? Maybe you need to restructure things. Maybe something's not working. How do we restructure this? But you're a team, but you're the guy leading it. You're the guy trying to direct it and move it. And often you'll find, often ladies don't know what they think until they hear what they say. It's not a criticism, it's just an observation. And they want to talk, and somehow it kind of talks around. You know, then, oh, okay, it's clearer now. And you know, you might have said nothing. So ladies, for the most part, and it's, I don't think it's an absolute, but for the most part, will be more verbal, speak more words. So don't be irritated by more verbal. You've set a time aside. You've said, this is important. Let's get to grips with this. Let's talk about it. Let's deal with what's going on. So what's the ultimate purpose for this meeting? In the man's mind, what are you thinking? Why am I doing this? Why am I cutting off time from watching professional wrestling, man, to sit here and listen to what am I doing? You know, what's ultimately the goal? Because you're dealing with tools in your own mind. Dominion, again. I'm sorry, maybe that was just too basic. You know, I'm just trying to keep your mind coming back. This is dominion. This is true dominion. I'm manifesting this calling that God has given me. This is what is actually taking place through this dusty mechanism. Dominion is happening. So that's what you keep in your mind. So you need to stay focused as well. This is what we are accomplishing, because it'll help the discussion, it'll help the leading of it and the directing of it. It will help your understanding of how to progress with it and stuff. So, and what is that dominion? What does it look like in this immediate circumstance? How the family functions as a unit. So this is the goal. This is what you're trying to accomplish. That's why you're putting this time aside. That's why you're interacting, because I'm trying to accomplish this dominion mandate through my family unit. This is what I'm trying to do, and this is how I'm keeping this whole thing running, the oiling in the working parts here. The goal I'm accomplishing is functioning and training this family unit for a next generation. So you're doing that. That's all the goals. Okay, what is my dominion calling? How do I get this? How do I get the family to pull along to accomplish these goals? So that's what in your mind as you're doing this, and you're trying to encourage and assist your wife. So you're encouraging your wife's, you're encouraging her by lifting her eyes to the goal and the vision and the purpose. Keeping her focused on that, saying, yes, what we're accomplishing, yeah, we're taking baby steps, got a long way to go, but hey, can you see where we're aiming? Going on this path, and this is the way we're going to get there. So you assure her by God's grace that you're going to get there. We're going to get there. Sometimes the wife just needs to hear that. We're going to get there, honey. Yeah, it looks bleak. It looks bleak because it seems so far away. The goal just seems out of sight. How are we going to reach this place? How are we going to attain it? So you encourage her that the next step that is planned is according to God's will. Okay, you know, I can't even see too far down the road myself at the moment, but I tell you what I do see. You're encouraging her this way. I tell you what I do see. I do see that this next step that we're planning here, I see that is in God's hand. And so let's just cling on to that and let's do that. And God will lead me and things will unpack and I'll understand the next step after that. But let's just focus now on this. Because sometimes a wife captures many things and many problems and carries them all at the same time. And that can become overwhelming. You know, the things might be small in and of themselves. Susie cannot get this math fact. Sammy did not eat his lunch. Granny is going into the hospital. The car is making a funny sound. I burnt the dinner. The puppy just peed on the floor. And so you'll sit down and things can just fall out. And because of that, everything looks bleak. Everything is just absolutely, it's a shambles. It's an absolute shambles. Nothing is going right. Everything is falling apart. I'm probably not going to win many friends. No, but this is a very possible scenario that you can be faced with. And you need to understand, why am I faced with this? You know, this wife that's just feeling completely overwhelmed. And you're thinking, but nothing here is major. And so then you can say, okay, well, let's look at it. Let's look at one thing at a time. Or let's evaluate the steps we can take. Or let's break this down and just study it. Or no, let me tell you how I'm seeing things. You know, the children are doing great in this area. Yes, I see. We've got some work to do in this particular area, but let's deal with that in a minute. We'll come up with a strategy with how to tackle that particular problem. Because over here, things are going fine. So allow her to talk. She needs to talk. And sometimes, like I said, when she's talking, she sees, or it just unburdens herself. It's kind of like passing the weight off. She's been feeling she's carrying the weight, and then she'll pass it off to you. And even if you don't have a solution, an immediate solution, sometimes just the opportunity to unburden is something that releases the weight, and she can get her attention drawn back to the goal. What are we doing here? What's the goal? What's the vision again? So what are we trying to accomplish? This is how we're doing. Look, I encourage you. See this. We're accomplishing it. So, and assure her, even if you can't address something immediately, assure her that I'm onto this, honey. Let me lift it off you. You've brought it to my attention. I realize there's a problem here. Let's move on. I've got it. I assure you I'm going to deal with it. But then you need to deal with it. Don't just say that as a, oh, let's get out of here. It's going to be the second innings already by the time we get back. You know, it really is time that is set apart. Repetition is vital. Repetition. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? This is why we're doing it. And I encourage you to keep doing it. So you can talk about those positive things. You can assure that you're onto stuff. And you can encourage her. You're helping me fulfill my vision. You're helping us accomplish as a family. And we're getting there. So don't rush the time. Really, you can't rush the time. Because if you want to stifle this time, say, I got 5 minutes. You got any issues? Okay, she'll just bottle up and that'll be the end. There's no point even going any further. It's got to be a time where she feels my husband has set apart time, has completely committed to this and wants to do this because he understands the importance of it in the kingdom. And then she will be with you as a team on that. It's good for her to know and feel that this time is important and protected by you as a father. You've protected this time, which means if there's small children, set the time to do this when the children are out of the way, when they're in bed or something, the little guys or the older guys, you told, okay, we're not going to be disturbed now. We don't want to be disturbed unless you break your leg in three places. But otherwise, you know, it can wait. So you set apart that time and you protect it so it's undisturbed and you can deal with it. We need to keep our wives on track with the vision through instruction, through encouragement. We need to listen to her counsel, take it in, as Joe was mentioning, it's important to, because our wives do have lots of wisdom to give. And as long as she understands, when she gives the wisdom, she's just presenting an opinion and then she steps back and leaves it in your camp. She's not waiting for you to implement the wisdom she's given you. Okay, because that's got things back to front. It must be your initiative as well. So you can receive wisdom and do it, but it must be in that order. So this quality unrushed time to talk, strategize, refocus, and be encouraged is what I mean by maintenance. This is the kind of maintenance that's vital for the whole working of the kingdom. And I think you realize time and time again the pressure that comes upon families to even be able to strategize one time a week for this shows you how that is attacked and undermined, and that is one of the core reasons that does undermine the whole family. So it really isn't a side issue. It becomes a critical issue. So what's the goal? Dominion. Impacting the kingdom. That's what it's about. That's what we're trying to do. Honey, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to impact the kingdom. We're trying to push forward. We're trying to accomplish these things. And we are doing it. And we are moving there. Kingdom advancement comes from the unit working as a unit. This family working as a family unit in accordance with God's truth. The husband-wife relationship. It's critical to that family unit. And therefore, when we realize that as men and as husbands, then we realize, okay, I've got to now start thinking in those terms and understanding what that implies and necessitates in keeping this family unit going. That's the title tonight, maintenance. Maintaining this important dynamic and component.